EDM board bombs.
Welcome back to another EDM board bombs podcast. Pleasure to be here. As you can imagine, there is silence around me. Dr. Hussein is not here. He's taking his usual hiatus for approximately 7 months, and he'll be back, it seems like. Oh, poor Dr. Hussein. It's a shame that he takes breaks every now and then. Hey, this is EDM board bombs. As you can imagine, I'm the co-founder, co-host, Blake Briggs. I'm going to start calling myself the three-fourths co-founder because of how often I'm here compared to him. Don't worry, Dr. Hussein is hard at work in the background doing things for EM Board Bombs, currently running a bake sale, actually. You can imagine our appropriately medically named treats we're doing for the holidays. Anyway, EM Board Bombs, a podcast for everyone, the blue-collar podcast, podcast for the people. We offer a vast amount of medical information in less than 20-minute episodes. Now, I know last week's episode was 27 minutes long. I'm sorry about that. Hope that was a nice extra listen for people on a longer commute, especially if you're sitting in traffic. But I always like to think that the extra banter and the jokes lighten your day more than having just some straight medical facts. So hopefully you enjoyed that episode last week. This one will be very short. We have a great topic today. Very interesting little tidbits of info that something you learned about a long time ago. It's a constant theme, isn't it? But has come back and reared its head as something you shouldn't have forgotten. Should not have forgotten about. I'd like to give a shout out to our only sponsor, our only chosen sponsor, EM News, Emergency Medicine News, A Voice for the People. That is the only free subscription for emergency medicine information. If you're an emergency physician, boom, you qualify. It's a free journal that is delivered to thousands of emergency doctors worldwide. And you can check out our podcast, which is hosted on EM News. Fantastic people over there, great editorials, great stuff. Check it out. So let's dive into this episode here. Remember, you can find EM Board Bombs at EM Board Bombs on Twitter, social media, all that jazz. And our website, of course, emboardbombs.com, where we offer study guides. And this podcast, if you are weird and you want to stream the podcast on our website instead of a smartphone device, which is kind of strange, then if you're listening to a podcast on the computer, you might as well just check out our YouTube channel, which you can see our smiling faces. Not for this episode, though, because I didn't comb my hair this morning. I didn't really want to get on camera. Anyway, 67-year-old male arrives to the emergency department with a headache. Now, he says it's been present for about 5 days. It's had a gradual onset. He states it's been constant and unilateral on the left side. Now, he denies ever having a headache like this before. Now, before you can think about what to order and treat him with, he says he already went to his PCP, who actually ordered him a whole-body MRI. And he found out on a Twitter thread that Jeff Bezos underwent one recently, so he wanted to do it himself. Now, the whole-body MRI was negative, apparently. Shocker. He says he's waiting on his chronic Lyme disease results, too. He has normal vitals in the ER, but states the headache is nagging and really constant for the past 5 days. Which of the following is the most common presentation of giant cell arteritis? Choice A, jaw claudication. Choice B, vision changes. Choice C, thunderclap headache. Choice D, brewery. The right answer here is choice A, jaw claudication. Whew, didn't see that one coming, did you? You got that whole stem, and then at the end, it's that classic board question. It gives you a stem that's essentially worthless. It just tells you everything that doesn't really matter. I mean, all of our stems are kind of worthless. We purposely make them exciting and funny, but let's just say the stem was bare bones on the boards. It would just tell you, hey, guy has a headache, pretty bad. Oh, but by the way, what's the presentation of this disease that we're suggesting, maybe? But those questions aren't that hard. You just have to memorize common presentations of certain diseases. They're not going to do this for everything. They're going to do it for more common things. Now, giant cell arteritis is not that rare. It's actually quite a scary condition. The good news is that this only happens in people who are older than 50 years old. On the boards, 100% true, usually older than 60. In real life, you will never see this condition in less than 50. What is this condition? Well, it's a very strange autoimmune condition you learn in medical school, and I promise we're not going to go into the autoimmune stuff. You just have to know like one sentence about the pathoviz here. And the word is systemic vasculitis. That's it. That's all you have to know. Hey, but before we delve into things further, we have to mention EM Rapid Bombs. EM Rapid Bombs is our premium podcast. More than ever, people are signing up for EM Rapid Bombs. Do you know why? because it works, because it's really good. And EM Rapid Bombs is a podcast that delivers 2 to 4 minutes of board pearls for ITE prep, board exam prep. We got some amazing, exciting things coming to EM Rapid Bombs soon in the next couple of months. Stay tuned, but for right now, the podcast is amazing as is. Question Bank Podcast. We have over 400 episodes now on EM Rapid Bombs. Incredible. And the number keeps growing. When you get the subscription, you lock yourself in to getting access to all those episodes. So check it out at emboardmoms.com. You can navigate there. You can pay on our website and sign up immediately, and you're listening within a couple minutes. Fast, easy, no hassle. Check it out, EM Rapid Bombs. All right, so giant cell arteritis, also called temporal arteritis, whatever, they're the same thing. It's a strange autoimmune condition. You learned about it in medical school. It's scary, and it's a can't-miss headache diagnosis. It is the most common systemic vasculitis in the world. The good news is, it's only in older patients. Think about it in greater than 65 years old in real life. Now, on the test in real life, you will never, ever see this presentation less than 50 years old. It just doesn't happen. I know someone's going to throw a case report at me about a 40-year-old having this. Sure, go right ahead. That's just not going to happen in your entire career. So sadly, there's just no clear way to diagnose this condition in the ED, though. I hate to start off with the bad news, but it only gets better from here. There's no imaging that will help you, hence the whole body MRI and this question stem, and no labs that will help you. Whoa, wait, I hear people shouting in the distance. Trumpets are going off. Some people are typing on their keyboards furiously to write a review, telling me that you have the ESR to help you. The most accurate lab ever invented, the ESR. I've heard sneezing potentially raises an ESR level. Anyway, so ESR, gosh, what can we say about the ESR? Does it make the diagnosis? No, it does not. We'll talk about that in a second. So headache for temporal arteritis can do essentially whatever it wants. There's no like specific pattern here. It's not going to be like subarachnoid hemorrhage. So don't look for that thunderclap headache. Don't look for the sudden onset. It's typically not a thunderclap. It's just a bad headache. It is usually unilateral. Doesn't have to be though. So what really helps here? It sounds like nothing is really helping. A new headache certainly is the most reliable presentation, but you and I both know that doesn't help. Everyone comes in with a headache. Right? And so like 80% of patients with giant cell arteritis will have a headache. So let's just put that aside because that doesn't really help us. That's very nonspecific. So what is the most helpful, most common, reliable presentation? Well, it's the answer choice we talked about, jaw claudication. There was a study essentially that correlated the findings of temporal artery biopsies with clinical symptoms. And they found out of those with the positive biopsies that showed temporal arteritis, jaw claudication was the symptom most highly associated with a positive biopsy. Now, fever often leads to the wrong diagnosis here, but patients could have a fever with this condition. Now, of course, on the test question, if you have a patient with a headache and a fever, I wouldn't suspect this. Sorry, they're not going to throw you that curveball there. You need to be thinking about some type of infection. Now, what condition is most closely linked to this? This might help you. Polymyalgia rheumatica. There's another med school bomb that you don't want to hear about. It's a strange rheumatic condition that you'll never be tested on alone, really. That's like step board kind of questions that you'll never get as an emergency doctor. Maybe ITE, I doubt it. But polymyalgia rheumatica, the purpose of remembering that is for this. 40% of patients, or up to 50% of patients, with giant cell arteritis have polymyalgia rheumatica. What is polymyalgia rheumatica? Essentially, it's this pain located in like the shoulders and hips area. They'll have elevated inflammatory markers, usually treated with steroids. Classic condition, right? Something you just learned in medical school and completely forgot about. Well, there's nothing really high yield about this condition other than just mentioning it, or mentioning just globalized aches and pains and et cetera, elevated inflammatory markers. That describes some type of polyarthritis or something. At least it gets you in the ballpark of thinking, oh, yeah, they have generalized aches and pains and this headache and they're older. Okay, I really need to think about temporal arteritis. Great, so new headaches we talked about, not really helpful here. Jaw claudication, absolutely helpful. Fever, other constitutional symptoms, again, playing into that rheumatic autoimmune thing, sure, not really helpful in real life, probably on the boards, maybe hinting at if they're suggesting a prior diagnosis of polymyalgia rheumatica. So what about unreliable symptoms? Well, really unfortunately here, abrupt visual changes, like transient visual changes, very uncommon. Why is that? Obviously, we all remember that the scariest complication of giant cell arteritis is vision loss, right? Well, if you didn't know that, now you know. The problem is, though, is that they just don't present early enough. That's something we're trying to prevent, right? Usually several days into the disease course. So the presentation usually doesn't have that problem. Large brewery, not very helpful. Arterial site tenderness, meaning tenderness to the temporal area, maybe where their headache is or you're touching there. Yeah, sure, do your exam, check it out. But it's less than 20% of patients. Now let's get into other things that aren't really helpful. Imaging. To anyone who thinks a CTA head and neck may show inflammatory changes for arteritis, I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, but that's just wrong. A CTA head and neck, as much as everyone seems to be ordering these more and more, I don't know when this started happening, like less than 2 years ago, is that just me? I've noticed that everyone's ordering CTA head and necks now on conditions that don't need CTA head and necks. this is one of those conditions that you just need to not order this anymore. There's a lot of other ones, but this is definitely one that doesn't help. Okay, what about the ESR? I hinted at this earlier. Drew you in with that, right? Some people are still listening to this, not because of the jokes. They're listening because they want to find out about the ESR. They want to see, when can I order this? Well, it's the only lab value that experts talk about that's ordered when thinking about this condition. So is CRP, but the ESR gets all the glory here. Now, although the ESR and CRP are almost always high in giant cell arteritis, as well as other inflammatory conditions, they are not specific for giant cell arteritis. Their role is more important to rule out giant cell arteritis when they're normal, rather than to confirm giant cell arteritis when they're elevated. Only about 4% of patients with giant cell arteritis have both ESR and CRP in the normal range. One study showed that about 167 patients with biopsy-proven giant cell arteritis, the ESR was less than 40 in 5%, meaning that, okay, it is going to be elevated. The problem is that it's just not 100%, meaning that there are a small subset of patients that could have a negative ESR in giant cell arteritis, meaning that an ESR alone that's negative should not tell you, oh, whew, it's not giant cell arteritis. If you got a classic story, classic presentation, that patient's going to have to be admitted, getting steroids, undergoing a biopsy. And I've already kind of teased at what's going to happen to these patients, the complications. Even with effective therapy, the steroids, there is permanent loss of vision in one or both eyes in 15 to 20%. It is rarely reversible. It will occur potentially on the unaffected side as well. And it's estimated that within 1 week, further loss of vision in the unaffected eye happens at about 25 to 50% of untreated patients. Insane. So if the headache's on one side, they have the symptoms on one side, it will, in a large group of patients, go to the other side of the body and cause vision loss in the other eye. This is devastating. This is why it's so serious, and this is why you shouldn't just rely on a negative ESR to send the patient home. Of course, with a really bad story, patients that don't have the classic features of temporal arteritis, sure, maybe not. This is why it's so important to not ignore a negative ESR in patients that you're really concerned about giant cell arteritis. A good story always outweighs a negative ESR in this case. Now, if there are no signs and symptoms of ischemic organ damage, you can do prednisone orally. Now, they're never going to give you that option on the boards. On the boards, it's IV steroids any day of the week. And in real life, if you're just unsure, IV steroids are fine. If you have a strong suspicion of giant cell arteritis as a cause of any visual symptoms or signs, and or it's the boards, IV methylprednisone, and these are some megaton doses. These are nuclear doses here, Cold War doses of steroids. Methylprednisone, 500 to 1,000 milligrams IV. Wow, they're not going to be sleeping. Those people might as well go to the gym, because there's no way that they're going to get any sleep that night when you give them that IV steroid. Of course, you're going to admit them to the hospital, and they're going to undergo a temporal artery biopsy or color Doppler ultrasound. Anyway, all that stuff's inpatient. You're not going to get this diagnosis. You're going to suspect it, give them the steroids, admit them to the hospital, prevent vision loss. And that's really it here. That's all I got. So temporal arteritis, scary condition. Let's do some coaching, just like we do in the rapid bombs. Most specific symptom, the symptom that's going to potentially steer you in the right direction, jaw claudication, especially with chewing, you know, movement of the jaw, etc. New headaches are definitely the most common symptom, but so nonspecific. They don't follow a pattern. They're not thunderclap or sudden onset. The age is also helpful here. You should never think about this condition in someone less than 50. Really, it's going to be older than 65, but I'm giving some grace here. Less than 50, don't think about it at all. The laboratory studies like ESR and CRP are going to be elevated in the vast majority of patients. Think polymyalgia rheumatica, think about rheumatic conditions, think about a general inflammatory condition, sometimes constitutional signs and symptoms, polyarthritis, etc. Great. Visual changes, brewery, artery tenderness, all those are unreliable. They're not going to be present in the vast majority of your patients in real life. On the boards, they'll make this easy for you. Typically, they're going to describe some type of headache in an older person, maybe talk about how their imaging test was negative, and they're going to ask you what your next step is. And the next step is just to give them steroids and admit them to the hospital, because there's nothing you can do in the ED to diagnose this condition. Sounds great. That's all I got. So you need to check out EM Rapid Moms at emboardmoms.com. Check out our Twitter, social medias, all of them, Instagram. We're on YouTube as well. You can check out our YouTube channel if you want to get more video podcasting. If you're into that kind of thing, it's becoming more and more popular. Check it out. You can see our smiling faces. And hopefully next episode, either Iltavat or Marlena will be with me. And that's really about it. Hopefully you're getting your holiday shopping done here. And otherwise, have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.